Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. One of the loveliest things about our church's calendar is the number of feast days that we celebrate to mark the various events of the life of Christ, to determine the meaning that they have for us, and to realize how our so-called secular year can be really graced and colored by the festivals that we celebrate. Oh, of course, we have times of fasting as well, but we fast in order to feast, in a sense. But these feast days that we celebrate are not simply holidays in the secular understanding, but they are reminders to us not only of what God has done for us, what he has called us to do, and as well the life of Jesus and the saving events that really worked that victory over sin and death and brought us everlasting life. These are marvelous times to remember who we are. And I think about this because in the past several weeks we have been celebrating the great season of Easter. And in that season there are some wonderful celebrations that indicate not only the meaning of the life of Jesus Christ, but they indicate as well who we are as members of the body of Christ. I think especially of the feast day that we celebrated here this past Sunday, the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. Of course, as we approach that feast day, it is a celebration of the end of the physical historical mission of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. He came among us, he took on our human flesh, he entered in a public ministry that lasted about 3 years. He suffered and died, rose to new life, spent then 40 days with his disciples, and then having completed that mission, ascended to his heavenly Father. We also celebrate this feast day because of the glorification that is commemorated in the ascension, that our Lord Jesus Christ, taking on the humbleness of our human flesh, dying on the cross, actually in every moment of his life here on earth, revealed the glory of God, but how difficult it was for us to see. But in the ascension, that glory of the Lord, the glory that was vouchsafed to the disciples on Mount Tabor in the Transfiguration, was fully revealed, and he now sits at the right hand of our Heavenly Father to come again to judge the living and the dead. And in that ascension, we can say that the victory is won, and it will be forever. But the ascension also indicated that although we speak of the Lord returning to heaven, he did not leave us in a sense. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ allowed his work to be done on a worldwide basis, that his work is no longer bound to any particular place or any particular time, but is a work now that will continue until the end of time and will reach all people everywhere. And that is because although Christ ascended to his heavenly Father, he left here on earth his body in a sense, that is, the church. Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples between the resurrection and the ascension. And during those 40 days, I think our Lord spent not only drawing the disciples to accept the real appearance of Jesus before them, the reality of his conquest over death, but also to remind them of all the things that he had taught them. And during those 40 days, I believe that our Lord taught the disciples how to be a church, how to act as his body continuing in all time and all places. And having achieved that, our Lord then returns to his Heavenly Father. Now, of course, as you read through the New Testament, there are various accounts of the ascension. That is, each of the Gospels adds a different character to that event. Last Sunday's first reading was taken from the Acts of the Apostles, in which the evangelist Luke recounts those final moments before our Lord ascended. And in fact, in Luke's account, what our Lord does is give instructions, final instructions, to his disciples on how they are to live, what they are to do. And in fact, I always am struck by the appearance of those two angels after our Lord has been assumed into the cloud, as Luke says, who say to the disciples, "Why are you just standing around gaping like that? Don't you realize you have work now to do?" In Matthew, there is that marvelous call, really a commission, that the disciples are to teach all nations, baptizing them. But then always remembering in their work that Jesus Christ will be present to them until the end of all the ages. Mark stresses, again, the preaching of the word, but he also speaks about the continuing protection of the disciples by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, it becomes very dramatic. He says to the disciples, "In preaching my word, you'll be able to handle venomous snakes and drink deadly poisons." Although I think this should come with a warning label that you are not to try this at home. But it was just a dramatic way of saying that the protection of God is going to be with them as they preach the word. In John, there's no direct mention of the ascension to the Father. But in those last verses in the Gospel of John, Jesus begins to assign various tasks to his disciples. But each of these tasks are to be expressions of a life based on the love of Christ and the love of others. There is that marvelous, what I call, final examination of Peter, when Peter was asked by Christ, "Do you love me?" And in expressing that love, Peter is given the extraordinary mission of feeding the flock. Now, after our Lord ascended into heaven, apparently the disciples regathered in Jerusalem, there to wait another 10 days for the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, that he would send them another advocate, a Holy Spirit, that would remind them of all that Christ taught them and would bring them to all truth. I suspect that in those 10 days they devoted themselves to very deep prayer, to meditation on those final words of Jesus before his ascension, on how, in fact, they were to live and act as the body of Christ in every time and place, to act as the church. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit, all things became clear to them, and with power, eloquence, and great courage, they immediately began to preach the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I speak of all of those realities about the Feast of the Ascension and our preparation to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost as a reminder of who we are as members of the body of Christ. We have, in a very real sense, the same apostolic mission as the original disciples. We are to live as Christ lived. We are to speak of Christ, and we are to share Christ. And as members of the body of Christ, we also share in that protective quality of the presence of Jesus Christ, in realizing that he is always with us. And in fact, that promise he gave in the Gospel of Matthew that he would be with us until the end of all the ages is so beautifully fulfilled in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. It is marvelous to read in the Gospel of Matthew that a title given to Jesus, even in the womb, is the name Emmanuel. It is mentioned only here at the beginning of Matthew. But Emmanuel means God is with us. And that title is the title that illuminates the whole of the Gospel of Matthew. And at the very end, our Lord himself explains the meaning of Emmanuel. I will be with you until the end of the ages. And it is in that profound faith and in our hope in the second coming of Jesus Christ, in our delight that he is still among us, that we recommit ourselves to our mission and our task of living Christ, speaking of him, and sharing him with others.